The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now, here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome. This is the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Your host, Joey, the Italian Stallion Murray, joined as always by Russ, the idea guy, Morgan.
Joey, I got to drop some knowledge on you, bro.
Okay. I'm always ready for those rare occasions.
All right. So here's a question. I heard this analogy when we were at an event the other day. I loved it. And I think it pertains to today's guest. So stay with me just a second.
Okay.
Why do you think Japan bombed Hawaii versus the island of Alcatraz in the middle of California?
I'm terrible at history. I really have no idea. I didn't even know Alcatraz was on its list.
Okay. Okay. Alcatraz. You know what Alcatraz is?
Yes.
It's an island right there in San Francisco.
Right.
Used to have, you know, mass murders, people like that in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm with you so far.
Hawaii is that beautiful place I get to go like every 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
That you've never been.
Yeah. Thank you for rubbing that in okay. Further.
Now, why do you think, though, that they would want to bomb an island 1,500 miles off the coast versus one inside the mainland?
Well, I mean, you put it like that, it seems like it's far enough away. It's isolated, maybe.
Isolated. Great word there, Stallion.
Thank you.
Because as you're thinking about this, because as entrepreneurs and business owners, we get to running and gunning. What happens? It's very easy for us to get isolated.
Yeah.
Not willing or able to ask for help. So if you think about that, take this back 80 years ago, how hard would it have been to get help from the mainland to Hawaii?
Oh, it would have been taking days.
Yeah, took a long time. Well, and so I think that that's the beauty of when we're interviewing Aaron Walker today, and he's teaching us how and why we need to be in community, especially as business owners, as entrepreneurs, because there's a need for that help. And when we're isolated, that help can't be readily available.
That's right. That's a great point. And I think deep down, we all know this. We always operate better in community. We always focus more on the goals that we set for ourselves, whether it be spiritual, family goals, business goals, if we have other people surrounding us who are running in the same direction. And I think, man, I can't even tell you. The stories that Aaron shares with us today are going to rock your face off, like blow you away.
Well, this is a man who sat in small groups with some of the top minds, the top business owners in the country, and now he's creating masterminds that mimic what he's been a part of for 30 or 40 years. So let's dive into this interview with Aaron so you can hear, just like Joey and I did, the value of being in a mastermind community.
Dad, do you have to go to work today? If you're tired of having to answer yes to that question and you're ready to stop trading time for money, join Russ and I on this journey to financial freedom at community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. This is the place where you can take control. You can pick your own path and get there faster. Go to community.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. Welcome. We are in for a treat today. We have Aaron Walker in the studio with us. Welcome, Aaron.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, Joey and Russ. I can't wait, man, to share some time with you guys.
Man, it's going to be amazing. All right, Aaron, I'd love to dive right into a story. And listening to you, you have many stories. So this is going to be a great day. And I know I could pick many to dive into, But there's one that I was listening to that really kind of grabbed me. And it had happened a number of years ago. You had risen to success. For most people's measures, you started a business at age 18. You sold it at age 27 for seven figures. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
Okay. And for most people, they think that's the level. That's where I'm trying to get to. And as entrepreneurs, we're always trying to grow something. But what happened is that when you sold that business, you started growing other things and it wasn't motivating to you. Tell us a little bit about that moment in time in your life and how that spurred you into what you're doing today.
Well, let me give you a little backstory, if I could, just for a second. I grew up in a really poor family in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm native Nashville. You've been here almost 60 years now. And I knew what I didn't want to do for a living. I didn't want to work as hard as my dad did physically. My dad was a general contractor and I watched him work so hard. And I said, I got to figure something else out. So I approached a couple of guys and made an offer to them to go into business using my experience and their money. And they started laughing and they said, how old are you? And I said, I'm 18. He said, why would we go in partners with you? I said, because I'm going to make you a lot of money. Well, they loved my attitude. They started checking on me in the community, in our school and local church, and they found out I was a decent guy. So they took a risk and they said, let's do it. So they handed me a checkbook that had $150,000 in it at the time. They said, go open this retail establishment. Let's see what you can do. And I thought, man. So I got married a year later after I opened it, and my wife came from a poor family than I did. And I said, Robin, we can't mess this up. We may never get this chance again. We're going to pour all the money back into the company. We're going to live on nothing for the next ever how many years it takes. And we're going to pay this 10-year loan off as fast as we can. So we did it in 36 months. It took us 3 years. We paid back all $150,000. I was a third partner in this. And I said, I think I can do this again. And I opened up another retail store and I kept doing that. So we had four stores, and a company in Fort Worth, Texas approached me one day and they said, hey, we want to buy your company. And I said, well, I'm not for sale. And he said, everything's for sale, young man. And I said, well, I'm not for sale. I just built a new location. I just bought a new little subdivision. I mean, a shopping center, and I was putting my store in there. And he said, listen, we're going to be in Nashville and it would behoove you to sell us your company. And three times I told him that I wasn't for sale. I said, I'm not. And he came back the third time, Russ. And I said, listen, I told you, I just built these new stores. I'm not interested in selling. He said, hypothetically, if you were going to sell, what would you take? I said, hypothetically. And he said, yeah.
This is the test drive moment, right?
I threw a number out there and he said, we'll take it. And I sat there and I said, what? I said, I just built this new building and I don't want to get rid of it. He said, no, you keep your buildings. And I sit there and I said, you're going to pay me that for the business and I'm going to keep the buildings. Mm. And he said, yeah. So I called my banker and I said, listen, we got to talk. So he came down and we talked about it. And he said, Aaron, he said, you came from a very poor family. And in 9 years, you're going to be able to retire. He said, you may never get this opportunity again. So I went home, prayed about it, talked to my wife about it, and we decided to do it. And so 3 months later, I was retired. And I said, this is the American dream. I mean, I go from broker to convict to being able to retire at 27 years old. And it was amazing for about 18 months. And I want to tell you guys, I have never in my life been so bored and out of my mind. I played golf every day for about the first 6 months. And I was playing with guys that were 60 years old and they were beating me. And I said, this is no fun. And then I started fishing and I started hunting. And 18 months later, I was depressed. I was getting in the bed in the middle of the day, not on the bed, taking a nap. I was getting in the bed. And my wife came and woke me up one day and she said, Aaron, this is not what I signed up for. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? She said, you've gained 50 pounds and you're getting in the bed in the middle of the day and you've got to do something. I don't care what you do. Go start another business. Go back to work. I don't care what you do. So I went back and I bought the company I started with when I was 13 years old. And then we grew that company about four times the size it was over the next 10 years. But I want to tell you guys, if your audience is working to retire, stop doing that. Right. Because we've got to have purpose. We've got to have meaning. We've got to have a reason every single day to get up. And I want to encourage the listeners today to find something you're passionate about and really dive into that. And you can have a huge amount of success and significance also.
Well, that's amazing that you say that, because we do. We as entrepreneurs, we ultimately are trying to build a business And we have these grand visions that we've been told, you, when you're running a business, you're either running a hobby or you're preparing it to sell it. And it is like driven into us that we are not trying to create a lifestyle. We're trying to create an asset that we can sell. And then all of a sudden, like you, we get to the point where somebody really wants to write us a check and we go, man, this is the pinnacle. This is the end zone. And then wait a second, this is not what I wanted. So you're at that moment and you're saying, I have to go do something else. And since then, you've created a lot of other businesses. And you've mentioned kind of the latest things that you've been getting into is creating significance. Tell us a little bit about what that looks like.
Yeah, I've got to go back and give a little context to the story so your audience will understand. We went ahead and built the next business for the next 10 years. And I worked 3 days a week. My partner worked 3 days a week. And, you know, we had all the tangible possessions and all that stuff, the big house and all that stuff. But the truth is that you've got to have more in life than just tangible possessions. And once you get it, it doesn't scratch that itch like you thought it was going to. You know, I mean, you've got a little money in the bank and all those kind of things, but you're like, is this it? Is this all I'm going to get? And then August 1st, 2001, unfortunately, I ran over and killed a pedestrian on my way to the office and it rocked my world. Mm. And so I really took some time off. Actually, I sold that company. I took 5 years off and I really contemplated through that. Had a lot of counselors I saw and a lot of friends that really gathered around me to help walk me through that. And what I discovered in that, Russ, is that I had a great amount of success, but no significance. And I felt really guilty about it. I thought nobody cares about what little bit of wealth I have, but my family. Right. And Joey, you or Russ, either one would not have been changed or different as a result of having known me. And that's what I wanted my legacy to be. I wanted your life to be better because we had an interaction. And I said, my legacy would have been poor kid from Nashville, Tennessee, makes enough money to retire at age 27 and nobody cares. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, that's not the way I want this to go down. And so I really started thinking through that. And I said, what is it that I'm missing? And I said, it's breathing life into other people. It's helping them accomplish their goals, their dreams. I said, God, if you'll give me another chance, I'll change my attitude and my mindset. I'll look outward and I'll focus on other people and I'll help them achieve their goals and their dreams. And what I've done is created something that has returned 10x anything that I could have ever imagined because my attitude, my mindset, and my disposition was in the correct location. And that was thinking about others. Now, I don't want to ever discount making money. I love to make money. I want to make more money, but I don't want it to be my God. I don't want it to be my only focus. I want it to be a tool. And I want us to give the value to it that it so rightly deserves. And that's so that we can live a great life and so that we can reach out and share and help other people.
So Aaron, you said something that is very profound, but I think it can easily be assumed. And you said not just success, but significance. And you've mentioned that that is a lot about giving to others. But what were some of the other things, maybe as you were contemplating over those 5 years, what does significance look like? And even what you're doing today, what are some of those things that our listeners can say, okay, this is what he means by significance?
Well, I look at success as being one thing and significance being another. And primarily, significance is about the benefit of others. And that's investing your time, effort, and energy and resources into others. It's easy to write a check. I can grab a checkbook, I can write you a check. But to mentor someone and to walk with them and to help them and to encourage them and edify them, hold them accountable, that's where you really get the benefit. I started a program called The Torch. And it was for six young men that they met in my conference room every Monday morning for 6 years. And I walked with them. We read books and we taught them how to do life and even started a company called CMAC. And that was an acronym for our four names, four of the six guys. And we went out and bought real estate together. And these kids were 18, 19 years old. And I taught them how to invest in real estate. And they learned through that process. Two of those guys have gone on to do really well as a result of part of that education. But see, that took time. That was a lot of energy. It was a lot of effort. It would have been easier to give them a check. But when I say significant, it changed their lives. Like their family tree is going to be different now as a result of investing that time and energy. David Green with Hobby Lobby, is mentoring a little bit. One of my friends, Dave Ramsey, you know, we've talked about that a little bit. Dave and I've been in mastermind together for decades. And David Green has walked alongside Dave and is teaching him to do some things at a much higher level, you know, as far as giving back to communities in a grand way. And is teaching Dave. Dave's becoming very philanthropic, and he's really pouring educational material out there now. And he's doing some other things behind the scenes I probably shouldn't mention. But he's really helping take the lives of some people to a different level. See, that's the value of making more money. It's not so you can build bigger barns, right? Although I do like nice things. I like a nice house and a nice car. I hate it when people with money go, money's not important. I want to go, you liar, let's take it away from you. And now we'll see how important it is, right? Just don't make it your sole focus. And that's where we really miss the boat. And so I think that if you really focus on the outcome of the other person, the exponential return, it will 10x, 100x. It's just the natural reciprocity happens when you look outward rather than inward.
No doubt. Now, would you say, Aaron, that you had somebody in your life early on that kind of edified that that trait that showed you what significance looks like, what caring for other people looks like more than
no, you? No, I didn't, and I so wished I did, and I didn't until a couple of decades ago. I'm almost 60 now, but it was a couple of decades ago. And it was around the time of the automobile accident. To be very honest with you, Russ and Joey, to be very honest, you wouldn't have had me as your guest in my 30s because I was very arrogant and condescending. And I thought I was the golden child. And I thought I can make anything happen. That's the truth. I'm just being very vulnerable and honest with you because I was very poor. I made something of myself financially by age 27. And I thought, man, I got the Midas touch. I can do this thing. And some failures throughout my life really humbled me. And if you want to get humbled, get you a good failure in the books, and that'll humble you and it'll take you to a place that probably some of us need to go sooner. But if I had had a mentor, it would have been way different in my life in the early years. Later, I did discover men like Bob Warren and David Landreth and Alan Lindsay and some of the other guys that have walked with me for decades now to teach me and show me what the value of humility is and how to be a good neighbor and how to look outward and help other people. I don't want to make it sound like I'm a saint. I'm not. I've got a lot of areas in my life that I need to work on, quite honestly. But I surround myself with trusted advisors that I subject myself to their scrutiny as to I allow them and I invite them to speak into my life and tell me, if I do have a superpower, tell me. If I do have Achilles heel or blind spots, let me know what they are so I can get better. And as a result of doing that, our life is transformed.
Well, so you said something that was important. You said that advisors, and I think a lot of people are listening to this, have those. They would say, oh, yeah, I've got my accountant. I've got these really incredibly handsome, smart financial guys at Wealth Without Wall Street.
Is it somebody I've besides got, you two guys? Is the rest of your team? Is that who we're talking about?
But they say, I've got all these advisors. Yeah, but what you're talking about is totally different. It's 100%. Taking it to a deeper level. Now, let's say someone says, I don't have what you're talking about, Aaron. Yeah. But I'm kind of like, how do I find something like that? Like that's not something that I see just driving up and down the highway, just on the billboard. Like, how do I go about doing that?
Yeah, I know you have ladies and gentlemen, but I'm a gentleman, obviously, so I have to speak from my perspective. Men primarily want the whole world to think they don't have any errors or faults, and we have this facade. And until you allow somebody to get behind the facade, you know, all these people are in their houses, you know, and they put on this good show, you know, hey, we're the perfect couple and our finances are in great shape and everything is amazing. But the truth of the matter is they're struggling. Some of them have bought way too much house. They can't afford it. Some of them have credit cards that they're borrowing against to pay their other credit cards. Some of their children are disasters and they don't know how to handle it. But to the outside world, they're living the being you know, the who is it? The Barbie dolls, the Ken, and what's the other one's name?
Ken and Barbie.
Yeah, Ken and Barbie. They're living that life, and that's just not reality. The reality is we all have financial troubles from time to time. The reality is we all have emotional problems periodically. The truth is that raising kids is a job within itself. And listen, we're designed to be in community. We're not designed to be in isolation. Isolation is the enemy to excellence. And if you want your life to go to the next level, you've got to let that facade down, that veil down, and you've got to go, hey, here I am, the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is what you get. And you can only do that with a few people. You can't do that with the world because the whole world don't want to hear your problems. But when you have people, 8, 10, 12, 15 people that you say, okay, I trust you. And that takes time. It takes time to build that rapport and that relationship with people that you, they don't condemn you. There's no judgment that you go, here I am and I need your help. And once you do that, it endears you to the rest of the group because they go, okay, now I have permission to share. Because I thought you had it all together and you don't. We had a group called the Eagles, and that was Dave Ramsey's mastermind group. And decades ago, he invited me when he first started that to join it. And we spent 10 or 12 years in Dave's office every single week doing this. And I'm like, you're Dave Ramsey, you've got problems. I mean, you and Sharon, really, like your kids are perfect. Denise and Rachel and Daniel. I mean, they're not perfect. And he's like, man, dude, you know, they're not perfect. And we talked through those things. Dan Miller, same way. I'm the same way. You guys are the same way. There's things that we deal with, and you have to get people around you. Here's the thing, guys. We have one life experience. You can only see things one way. Regardless of how bad you would like to see it from a different perspective, you can't. And that's what these trusted advisors give you, is a different perspective. It's the most valuable thing you could get. And people would come up to me and say in this group, they'd say, the way you spoke to Robin is really not going to serve you well long term. And I'm like, what are you saying? They said, you were very judgmental and you even appeared to be condescending, and she's your wife. And you need to talk to her differently. James Ryle was in our group. He traveled all over the world speaking. And he called me one Saturday morning and he said, hey, I know you've got this trial you've been dealing with for a long time. He said, and I've got a word for you. And I said, yeah, James, what is it? He said, you're wearing the hell out of everybody in our group. And I started laughing. Well, he didn't. And I said, excuse me? He said, you're talking about this every single week, week in, week out, month after month. It's time you were getting over it. He said, I was reading in the Bible this morning in Isaiah. It says, take the chains from around your neck and move on. He said, it's time you were moving on. And he hung up the phone. I was so mad. I could have bit a nail into. And here's what I discovered out of that, though. I said, I've got somebody that loves me enough to tell me the truth. So the following Wednesday, I go to Dave's office and I walk around the table. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'4", weigh 235. Well, James is about 5'5", weighs about a buck and a quarter. You know, he's a little small guy. And I walked around the table and he thought I was going to hit him. And I reached over and hugged him, big tears running down my eyes. And I said, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth. And it changed my life. I was able then to get up and move forward. And see, we need people around us that will tell us that. But if you're not willing to invest the time, the energy, and the effort in meeting in a group, that's why I started Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind Group. We started these groups to provide that kind of environment so it can be life transformational to the people that attend.
But I'm so glad that you're bringing this up, because we have built a community, as you know. We've shown you a little bit about it. You're going to be joining here shortly. And it's a great place for people to go and to learn strategies. It's a place for them to have access to experts in all these areas they need to learn about, whether it's learning about using infinite banking in their lives for a cash system, building their business, doing real estate deals or whatever it might be, tax strategies. But there's a key element that has to take place, and we've talked about it actually to our community members, is there's accountability. There's a need for accountability. In order for these things to start being implemented, you can't just have a bunch of knowledge. You need to ask somebody to hold you accountable. What I'd love to do is to say, how can we go deeper in a mastermind? Because what you're saying is so critical for today. I told you pre-show, my heart is broken. One of my top Christian comedians, John Chris, just fell from stardom as of yesterday. With headlines that are just basically tearing apart his whole entire business and his career, because he was left without accountability.
He had nobody around him.
That's right. He let his celebrity status allow him to manipulate women in ways that are just unbelievable. And, you know, you said something to me that I think is so critical is, but by the grace of God, we would do the same. And but without accountability, we would do the same.
Sure.
Left to our own devices. So I'm sorry if this is kind of coming across like strong or heavy handed, but I'm so blown away by that story. And then talking to you today, I just can't believe the timing of this, that we, especially as men, but anybody, we need the accountability. We need to be in groups of people that love us enough to tell us our blind spots, as you've mentioned. So I'm grateful to have you on the show and for you to also offer to have our listeners and the members of our community to potentially start a mastermind. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I appreciate that, Joey. Here's the truth of the matter is that early on, a couple of decades ago, I came home offering my family at the altar of sacrifice. So for me to get better and to make more money. And I say I came home with a pocket full of money to a house full of strangers. And I said, never again would I grow professionally without growing personally. Because you can make all the money in the world, but if you do it at the expense of your family, you still end up a loser. And I said, the groups that we facilitate are about 60% professional, 30% personal, about 10% spiritual. We cover every dynamic of your life because there's so many people that need people to help pour into them personally and professionally. And so we've created this atmosphere and this environment. It's also very legal. We get everyone to sign NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, so that when you're talking about that thing that you don't want anybody to know, you're bound legally. But not only that, you build this friendship, this lifestyle with these people. We have people forming partnerships and relationships and buying property together. And there's so many ways to do life together to where you build that trust. And so what we've done is created that. And we would love to create similar environment just for your audience as well, at which we've talked about. And I would love to be able to engage with Wealth Without Wall Street participants so that we could help them as well.
Man, that's amazing. I do think that that's the needed ingredient. It, as we reach different levels, we need to be challenged on many fronts. And the front that we tend to avoid, and I know that speaking as a man, as a husband, as a dad, as a business owner, I'm challenged every day to try to be better in my role here at the office. And what I find very quickly is that my children, and they're small, they are really quick to point out those imperfections in me. And they don't do it harshly. They're telling me, Dad, it looks like you've changed. You're changing. Like, what do you mean by that? Well, you're not here as much as you used to be. You know, when I'm not listening to them, when they're wanting to play a game with me and they say to me, Dad, you're not listening. You're looking at your phone or whatever it may be, that we see that. And I think that they're internally, we need to be a part of something that helps us let loose of that and hear other people who are having those challenges. But what you're saying is hitting really hard with me, the significance being greater than the successful, because a lot of times I think I catch my own self striving for success and not thinking about what would somebody say if I passed tomorrow, what would be that for me? Would it be he was great at writing checks, or was he great at getting involved and engaged and made an impact in my life? And that, those are things that I think that hit me really hard as we're talking right now.
You know, what I don't want to do is one day my kids say, Dad was never there. And I see it over and over and over. I'm at all my grandchildren's activities now, ball games, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, you name it. I don't want to miss that because I can make more money, but I only get one go through with these kids. By the time they're 16 or 17 years old, for the most part, they're gone. And I don't want to live my life having huge success financially at the expense of my kids or grandkids. It's just not worth it at the end of the day.
No, and I would say just Joey and I have talked about that at length. And there's areas where we have success in that. And we have plenty of failures. And it is some of the things that go on and some of the expenditures that we have in our life, I would say maybe more than, you know, there's a lot of people that love to cut back. And there's areas in our life where we've actually added on to where we are spending more time, because I just know that the kids are this age once, and you're not going to have that chance again, and chasing sometimes success is hard on that. But anyway, Joey, I'm going to let you kind of finish. But I'm just so excited, Aaron, to get you in our community to make these conversations more about building a group, a network, a mastermind around it. I know that you've built an organization that has done that. Tell us a little bit about the organization that you've built and what all goes on inside the mastermind community.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Our parent company is called View from the Top. And our mastermind groups are called Iron Sharpens Iron, just as one man sharpens another, as iron sharpens iron. And we have 15 groups, as I said earlier. We're represented in about 8 different countries now. It's becoming an international brand. And our churn rate is in single digits annually. And we've had same people meeting in the same groups for 5 and 6 years now, because they're adding immense value to one another. We have 90% attendance at our live events. We have over 90% attendance in the group meets weekly. And it's because there's value being added, not necessarily just from me, but from all of the participants in the group. Because when you have to fill out this accountability tool every single week, and there's themes and books and questions and man in the middle, and we really dive deep into your life personally and professionally, it's not too awful far away until you see a great amount of improvement. You know, what's funny is a lot of the wives now are become the biggest advocate of the mastermind group, and it's for their husband, because they said, the man I've got now is not the man I used to have. Mm-hmm. And so we've received so many requests that we're going to be starting a women's division also in about 45 days. And so we're pretty excited about that as well, because we want the man and his wife to grow in tandem, in personally and professionally, so they can be all that they were called to be the parents of their children and to grow their business into something that they never thought possible. So
that's awesome.
That's in essence what it looks like here at View from the Top.
Well, Aaron, this has been extremely inspiring, and I'm grateful you have offered to put one of these together for our listeners. Walk us through how people can find information on that, and then how they can get in touch with you outside the community or whatnot.
Yeah, feel free to reach out to me. I'm very easy to find. I make myself very accessible. It's not difficult at all to find us. If you'll go to viewfromthetop.com/wealth, WEALTH, if you'll go there, we've created a landing page just for your audience, and we would be happy to interact, answer questions, clearly articulate exactly what you would be getting involved in. And let's just have a good discussion. Let's not make it salesy. Let's make it comfortable. And let's provide value for all your listeners.
Man, thank you so much, Aaron. We really appreciate you and just value this time that we had together.
Thanks a lot, guys. I enjoyed it.
If you've been listening to our podcast, you're like, man, I love what you guys are talking about. I want to build passive income through one of these 5 pillars that you're talking about. But how do I do it? Stallion, tell them. It is so easy.
So easy that we created the longest URL possible. So you may want to write this down. freecall.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. Go to freecall.wealthwithoutwallstreet.com and you can set up your call with one of us. We're excited to talk to you.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand, so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.